for our scripture reading, first of all, we're going to read a few verses from Galatians chapter 3. Our text is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But first, let's read from Galatians chapter 3. The title of our sermon is On the Curse of the Cross. We're going to read what exactly that means, that Christ became a curse. So Galatians chapter 3, that's found on page 1155. Galatians chapter 3, we'll start at verse 10. Galatians 3, starting at verse 10. Galatians 3, verse 10, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.' Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." And then turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just one verse there, 5 verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And that's as far as reading in the scriptures. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of this word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if I were to ask you, what is the symbol of the Christian faith? I suspect that most of you would say the symbol is the cross. The symbol of the cross reminds us of the most significant part of the satisfaction of Christ's work, his suffering for our forgiveness. But in many ways, in our current world and society, the cross has become more of a fashion symbol and less a reminder of Christ and his work. All too often, we see the cross adorning the necks of celebrities or woven into the fabric of their clothes. The cross has become a fashion statement to many and little more. We've grown so accustomed to seeing the cross on our business cards, on the back of our cars, on our websites. We've lost some of the surprise and horror of exactly what the cross represents. The fact is, the cross was not a pretty or sanitized event. The cross was an instrument of torture with its rough-hewn timber and blood-soaked spikes. So as we gather together this evening considering Good Friday, we're going to be focusing on Galatians 3, verse 13, where we read this: "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." And today, praise God, we see this curse applied to Jesus Christ in our place. The first thing that we notice when we look at the curse that is connected to the cross, we see that this curse is applied to the one who is hanged. Cursed is the one who is hung on a tree. Now, the cross was the chosen instrument used by Romans for hanging. The cross would be used only for the most violent or obstinate offenders. The Romans would very rarely crucify one of their own. It would be only the most violent murderers or insurrectionist who had experienced this form of torture. When a criminal was being crucified, their feet would be attached to the cross with large spike nails, probably through their ankles, and their hands would be attached to the cross member, the cross beam, by way of nails being driven through their wrists. In this way, the suspect would be nailed to the tree, suspended, hoisted into the air, stuck somewhere between heaven and earth. His feet off the ground, his hands stretched wide. It was the most severe form of punishment because it was excruciating and it lasted for hours. When someone was stoned or beheaded, death was quick, but not with a hanging. Death comes slowly, as the person who was nailed to the cross was slowly asphyxiated as they could no longer breathe, hoisting themselves up to catch each breath. Now, in the Old Testament, we already did find this form of punishment. It was the punishment that Haman had designed for Mordecai and then was used on himself. And even with Absalom, as a symbol of the hanging, Absalom was stuck to the tree by his hair. And as our passage says, this hanging is to take place on a tree. In quoting from Deuteronomy 21, we read that this hanging was to be on not a cross, but a tree, a wooden pole. The cross simply describes the shape of this wooden pole. It would have one beam going horizontal and one beam going vertical. This vertical pole and one horizontal pole with a cross at the top, thus the name cross, would be a wooden place made from the dead tree or wood. Cursed is the one who is hung on a tree, hung on a pole of wood. Why is that significant? Why did Jesus have to die this way? Why couldn't he be stoned? Or why couldn't he be thrown off a cliff? Why couldn't he die by some other sickness? Why must he be crucified, nailed to a tree? Well, we remember the event that brought the curse into this world. Children, you remember how sin entered this world, don't you? Where does sin come from? Our children memorize this. From the fall and disobedience of our first parents. Well, what did our first parents do? Where did the sin take place? It took place at a tree. It took place on a wooden pole, if you will, where Adam and Eve extended their hand and took what was forbidden, thus turning what was supposed to be something of life and blessing into something which brought death and a curse. Adam taking fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And after their rebellion at the tree, they were cut off from another tree, weren't they? They were cut off from the tree of life. So the very substance, the wooden trees in the garden, become the object upon which Jesus Christ is nailed. The wooden pole of the cross. But more than that, we find throughout the Old Testament, in the context of the Old Testament sacrificial system, when there was some offering to be made, that offering or a sacrifice was made upon a bed of wood. Even Isaac, Abraham's son, was bound to the wood. The lamb that was burned upon a wood-stoked fire. So Jesus Christ was bound to the wood as he was offered up as the Lamb of God, as a sacrifice. In this way, the covenantal curse is typified. The Westminster Catechism puts it like this: the cross is symbolized in the shame and humiliation of being hung on a tree. So in this way, when sin and death and the curse entered creation, that very wood becomes the object upon which the death and curse is satisfied. So Jesus was hung on a tree. But note, as Galatians 3 verse 15 says, in being hung on a tree, Jesus Christ becomes a curse. How is it that Jesus becomes a curse? And who is cursing Jesus? Well, consider earlier we read from Galatians 3, cursed is everyone. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all of the commandments. Cursed is the lawbreaker. Cursed is anyone who does not keep all of God's commandments. In other words, everyone is cursed. Everyone deserves to be cursed. Every human being a son or daughter of Adam, is a lawbreaker, having a sinful nature, deserving to be cursed. That's Galatians 3 verse 10. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law. So I ask you, brother and sister, have you abided by all things written in the law? Have you loved the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Have you loved your neighbor as yourself? I know I haven't. Have I done all the good that I ought to do, and has my hand refrained from all the evil that it wants to perform? Surely not. So when I put myself in this passage, I find, cursed are you. Cursed am I. The word cursed simply means the punishment of a lawbreaker is applied to you. Justice, judgment, the removing from blessing. You might remember the covenantal blessing that we read. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord's presence go with you. That's the blessing. What the curse is the Lord turns His face away from you and removes that blessing. So for sinners, rebels, we are under the curse. But that is not the one who was cursed at the cross. You and I were not affixed to that wooden pole. It was Jesus. And that raises a very significant question. Why in the world was Jesus cursed? If, as the psalm says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked, blessed is the man who does what is right, blessed is the man who meditates upon God's law day and night, that describes Jesus. If anyone deserves blessing, it was Jesus. If anyone deserves curse, it was you and me. And yet, what do we find at the cross? He became accursed. In Galatians 3, Paul is quoting from Deuteronomy 21. If any man commits a crime that is punishable by death, his body is to be hanged on a tree. For the hanged man is cursed by God. So what happens at Calvary is Jesus is the hanged man that is cursed by God. But he did not deserve that. He committed no crime. There is no iniquity in his mouth. Listen again to what we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin, meaning Christ is the blessed one. God made him who knew no sin to be sin. So why was Jesus Christ cursed? The Father made the blessed, perfect, holy one to be sin. What took place on the cross was that the curse that you and I deserve because we are sinful lawbreakers was taken from us and placed on Him. We call that the great exchange. Sins taken from humanity and placed on Jesus Christ's shoulders. Why was Jesus Christ cursed? Because the Father made him sin. Why did the Father turn away? The Father's face of blessing and delight was turned away from the Son. So that when the Son cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Heaven was as bronze and no one said a word. Notice the great love of our Heavenly Father. God made him who knew no sin to be sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. My sins, the sins of humanity, taken from Jesus, from us and placed on Jesus Christ, and his righteousness taken from him and given to us. It is the love of God that takes our sins and curse from us and applies them to the sinless Son. That is why he was cursed. We could say it this way, that Jesus Christ was cut off from the tree of life so that we might have access, because in dying on the cross, Christ becomes the tree of life. To be cursed means that the Son experienced what sinners should experience. We confess this together in the Catechism, that Christ suffered hellish agony. The suffering on the cross that Christ endured was hell. The justice and wrath of God was placed upon him so that the heavens themselves became dark. Jesus Christ experienced in his body and his soul the wrath and curse of God against all sin. A few months back, we talked about the Haran, the ban, the devotion to destruction that the Israelites poured out upon the residents and the things in the land of Canaan. Everything that was Haran was dedicated to God and was destroyed with fire. It was untouchable. It's as if Jesus Christ becomes unclean. One from whom men and God hid their faces. And why was this necessary? Going back to our passage in 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Father made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It was so that sinners might no longer be considered as cursed, but rather blessed. The being made sin of the Son led to the being made righteous of the bride. The forsaking of the Son means the reconciliation of the church. Jesus gets the cross. Jesus was being treated as if he was the one that took the forbidden fruit, so that we would have access to the tree of life. That great reversal of justification, our sins placed on Jesus Christ, him becoming a curse, his righteousness placed on us, we becoming the blessed one. As Galatians 3 verse 13 puts it, Christ redeems us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Or Isaiah 53, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. To conclude, the dying of Jesus Christ on a wooden cross, a tree, nailed to a tree, was not just one way of many in which Jesus could die. It was the only way he could die, as a sign of his being cursed. With the shedding of the blood, there is forgiveness of sins. Death by crucifixion puts it on display. Christ became a curse so that we might become righteous, taking our sins. Although the cross has been sanitized in many ways in North America, let us not forget that the cross is an object of torture and scorn for those who had to be fixed to it. Our sins were placed on Him, and we now find forgiveness and life. So today we find that substitutionary atonement is put on display. Death by crucifixion is a sign of the one crucified being cursed, that Christ redeemed us from the curse so that we might be righteous. So this Good Friday evening, I encourage you to remember with soberness and to meditate upon the seriousness of our sins. How great our sin must be if it necessitated the crucifixion of the Holy One. This was the only way for those who deserve a curse to become righteous. Jesus Christ was cursed so that we might be blessed. But praise God, that's not the end of the story. Brother and sister, Resurrection Day is coming. And 3 days from now, we'll return here to remember that Christ said, "It is finished." You look behind me, you'll see that that cross is empty. There's no one on the cross anymore. Christ is not suffering anymore. He did what was necessary, completing the work. And now, He is victorious. Praise God for the gift. Praise God for the blessing that Jesus Christ not only died for us, but rose again. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we do thank You for the wonderful blessings that we have to ponder and to meditate the seriousness of our own sins, that we are by nature lawbreakers and deserve to be under a curse. Yet Christ took that curse, becoming sin for us. So we thank You for the cross. We thank You that Christ was willing to go to the cross for the joy set before Him, knowing that the cross would lead to our righteousness. We thank You for the power of Christ, that the cross is not the end of the story. And we look forward, O Lord, with joy in our hearts to the day that we see our Savior, who was crucified and now lives forever.